Good evening. Welcome to the Solera Report. Today is September 15th, 2016. I'm Catherine Austin Fitz, and I'm delighted you could join me this evening. Well, I've been having a great time in the Bay Area, but I'm driving back into the Heartland, so I wanted to post you on two events. We're going to be having a Sunday brunch with Catherine in Dallas, Texas on Sunday, October 9th. I'll be coming through Arizona and Texas, and then up to northern Texas on my way back to Hickory Valley. So Dallas, Texas, Sunday, October 9th, subscribers can buy tickets on the website. And then hold that date. We're going to be launching hopefully this weekend with tickets for the launch party, Saturday night dinner at a great Irish pub in Tulsa, Oklahoma. It's the launch party for our crowdfund for Dr. Joseph Farrell, the grand virtual pipe organ crowdfund. We're going to be raising $24,000 to fund a virtual pipe organ for Joseph. Anyway, the launch party is going to be a lot of fun. Already a lot of people have indicated they're coming and they're making their reservations. We'll try and find a list of good hotels to stay near the pub. Anyway, so stay tuned for that. We'll launch the whole website by the time we have the launch party with the full explanation of the whole thing. It's going to be a lot of fun. Anyway, I wanted to let you know we've put up the PDF for the 2016 second quarter wrap-up with the big theme on productivity. Took a lot of work. We did an extra large issue. We added the full transcript for the news, trends, and stories since Dr. Farrell and I did such an extensive job on news, trends, and stories. So that PDF is up. The hard copies will be mailing out next weekend, and I want to thank you to the people who are owed hard copies of that. You've been very patient, and we hope you'll be gratified by the extra effort. We put in a lot of extra time and effort in this one. Our theme tonight is income up, expenses and pronouns, and in expenses up more. We're watching a complexity manufacturing machine at work. We saw headlines announcing that family income is rising in the United States. It's total election BS, as far as I'm concerned. We had Charles Hugh Smith on last week and talked about why the permanent inflation rate is 7% a year. So I don't care what they say, family income is up. If you look at what is happening with expenses being up more, the middle class is absolutely getting squeezed. Part of what's happening, and that's why I said pronouns up more, we're watching a real machinery of regulatory and cultural stuff that is absolutely destroying productivity. And the greatest example from this last week was a group at Vanderbilt University calling themselves the Faculty Senate Gender Inclusivity Task Force. Posted placards around suggesting that anybody who wanted to be gender fluent deserved their own set of pronouns, and they proposed two sets of pronouns for gender fluid people, just dramatically increasing complexity for everybody. And the comments of various subscribers to me were so funny, but the use of four-letter words was extensive, so I'm not going to read them here. But suffice it to say, if we want productivity to grow and we want the economy to go, then we have to stop destroying productivity and we have to stop destroying economic growth and destroying the productive. Anyway, so there it is. Income may be up. I'm very skeptical, but if it is, expenses and pronouns and expenses are up more. Okay, money and markets. We had quite a rout last Friday. The markets took a nosedive across the board. Stocks, bond, commodities. There was really no good place to be. It looked to me like the markets were anticipating two things. One, they were experiencing rising interest rates. But I also think they were anticipating a turn in the polls away from Clinton insiders having knowledge of what was coming up. It's another reason I think what's happening to Clinton reflects a loss of support from the top. More on that later when I discuss the election. Fixed income, we saw the long bond got hit a lot. It's down about one third. It's still up almost 12.5% for the year. The long bond ETF, that's quite an extraordinary performance in fixed income, but it's a big cut from where it was to 3 weeks ago, the intermediate term Treasury ETF, now up 6.32%, dropping by a less significant amount. The bond aggregate held reasonably well. It's up 5.05%. And the junk bond ETF, still up 11.28%. So that took a drop. Big question now all over the financial markets, is the long-term bond bull over? We've been talking about this for two years. And yet bonds have done remarkably well this year as interest rates went negative on about $14 trillion of sovereign bonds. That's central banks buying up every bond in sight. But I think the long-term bull in bonds is over. It's all part of what I talk about with the debt growth model is over. So we're at the point where we can't continue to expand government debt at extraordinary rates. And so whether you describe it from an investor's point of view that the long-term bond bull is over, or from the government point of view that the debt growth model is over, I think the turn has begun. If I'm wrong, it's only a matter of time, so we might as well assume it's begun. The question is how slow or fast. It could be very slow. It could be reasonably fast. There's no way to tell. The central banks are going to do everything they can to make it slow, but I think it has begun, and a lot of it beginning is really getting all the participants to sort of face facts. And you've watched institutional investors be making a variety of plans and changes in anticipation of it. Now that it's over, the question is, who's bought up all the debt? When we did our planet debt wrap-up, that was the question we asked. Clearly, the central banks have bought a lot, and the pension funds and sovereign wealth funds have bought a lot, but somebody sort of bought up the planet in the bulge of this, and the question is, who is that? All eyes are going to be on the Fed next week. My expectation is that they will not bump interest rates, but will do a lot of jawboning to say that they're going to bump in December. But anything can happen, so let's just see what happens. Equities up 6.69% for the year, so that's sort of a drop of about 2 points. They were up about 8.5% the week prior, as of the week prior. Home builders now almost flat. They're up 0.66%. So that's a big drop for the home builders. And that, if anything, could easily reflect the rise in interest rates, but very much the turn in the polls against Clinton. The Democrats and Clinton are particularly big on home building and mortgage markets and mortgage fraud. So that's they're much more home builder friendly. Europe now flat for the year. It's up 0.24%. Germany still holding at 2%, up 2.08%. And the developed markets ETF up 1.22%. So that's backing off a fair amount from the week before. China holding up 8%, 8.32% on the large caps. The small caps up 2.81%. So the large caps now doing better than the U.S. for the year. Emerging markets up 15.09% as interest rates went up. Emerging markets backed off a fair amount last week, and they could get hit much harder if interest rates. If the Fed raises interest rates, you're going to see China and the emerging markets take a nosedive. The commodities index now up 2.5% for the year. Commodities is a very interesting market this week because we see the German company Bayer, everybody knows Bayer Aspirin, finally pick up Monsanto at a 44% premium. Monsanto has been a victim of their own greed. They've tried to dramatically engineer a dependency on purchase seeds, both domestically and internationally. They've worked very hard to get state legislatures to outlaw farmers saving their own seeds and to force Terminator seeds on the market. It's a very ugly picture. And, you know, that dramatically raised the cost of seeds to farmers. They could afford it when the commodities prices were bubbling. Now that the commodity price bubble has burst, you know, it's basically driving farmers out of business who could stay in business if they were saving and using their own seed. So that the political backlash from sort of that, the business model and the dependency model, and then the political backlash against GMOs has Monsanto running up a lot of both political and legal liabilities. So A change in control, a change of name implies the same kind of cut and run we noticed on Lockheed and doing with its Department of Defense contracts. I think we're going to see a lot of cut and run, name changing, and balance sheet churning and liability protection to protect a lot of people from what's going to come out with the debt growth model over. Gold and silver both backing down. Gold now up 23.5% for the year, and silver now up 36.77% for a year. You know, still a phenomenal performance year to date, but obviously a big dive from where they've been. And then oil now down 13%. 3.0, here it comes. Uber launched driverless cars in Pittsburgh. They still have technicians riding around, ready to grab the steering wheel if anything goes wrong. Singapore has a startup, Newtomini, which put 6 cars on the road at the end of August. So Singapore is still out ahead against Uber with one of their startups. I want to talk about the U.S. establishment calcification. There's a great article in The Economist about a year or two ago that said the American aristocracy is calcifying. It was a cover story. And I put it up at Solari, and it really rang the bell on a serious problem we have. When you have an aristocracy that gets rich, or establishment that gets rich on financial fraud and financial coup d'etat, you know, they kind of get stupid, dumb, and happy, and they're good at rigging government contracts and government money. And they're good at, you know, with an extraordinary military capacity and forcing their unipolar vision on the world. But when that unipolar vision fails and the coup d'etat is over, the question is, who's going to lead the United States in a multipolar world? Who's going to be effective at collaborating and competing in that environment? I posted a blog post this week called Keep Calm and Do the Math, and it really responded to two things that were pretty shocking and a very interesting comment on the American establishment. We saw Hillary Clinton last Friday at a Barbra Streisand fundraiser refer to half of Trump's supporters, so presumably approximately 25% of the American people, as deplorable. Now, for someone who has just been highlighted as being guilty of multiple felonies and who we know is responsible for the slaughter of millions of people in places like Haiti and Libya, to refer to hardworking, honest Americans as deplorable, you know, it takes your breath away. And it was surprising even to me, because it was a gaffe that an experienced politician should never, ever make. And the question is, why did it happen? But to me, what it signals is we have watched the American people basically been shut up and overridden by an enormous amount of media shriek-o-meter and disinformation and government promises. I referred to it in my blog post as, let me read it. Our concerns have been smothered over by the media shriek-o-meter and government promises like thick gravy poured on an entree that no one really wants to taste. All the mathematical symbols, systems we use to communicate from market prices to voting booths to official statistics are manipulated, so we are escalating our cries. It seems to me that Clinton clearly is evidencing the fact that she has not a clue how the money works and how the system works. She it's almost as though she has become a victim of the disinformation. And we're seeing this in a lot of places where literally the establishment has forgotten, can no longer tell the difference between the fiction they've created to sort of cover up what's really going on and reality. And that's a very scary thing. It's a really serious symptom of calcification. But Clinton's gaffe was far from the worst. We then have Alan Greenspan announce that crazies are undermining the system. Now, Alan Greenspan just got finished saying that productivity, the drop in productivity growth, was what was threatening our retirement obligations, which is insane. Here's a man who more than anybody led the $40 trillion financial coup d'etat. Now over $12 trillion missing from the federal government, the pump and dump of the housing market, government and securities fraud that produced $27 trillion in bailout. And he's saying crazies are undermining the U.S. system after he led a $40 trillion financial coup d'etat. You just say, as I said in the article, I said, you and I could spend a lifetime searching Greenspan's heart and mind at the subatomic particle level and never find a hint of personal responsibility or shame. And so you listen to these folks and you think, well, they could just be insane. But the reality is they have become prisoners of the fiction. And that is really dangerous because, let me just read you the end of the article. What has always been obvious is that Clinton and Greenspan assume that we can't do the math on what is happening. But it is becoming increasingly apparent that rigged market prices, phony government statistics, and hacked voting rolls have lulled them into losing their grip on reality. If you and I can see this, so the entire world can also see this. Time to do the math on how the members of the G20 can make money exploiting our collective insanity, because that is what is coming. So we are really watching, whether you want to call it an establishment calcification or meltdown, that's very serious. The Gallup poll shows trust in the corporate media now at an all-time low. Frankly, I'm amazed anytime it's above zero. A new great article, one of the reasons I'm a Financial Times subscriber is Martin Wolf, I think, is one of the great financial commentators. He has a new article on Financial Times. I put one of his last articles up on the commentary that was public, talking about globalization stalling. Is it stalling? It's interesting. Unfortunately, I think the question is not is it stalling or why is it or not is it stalling or not, because I think centralization is stalling because it's so destroying productivity that it's stalling the centralization process. But globalization can be decentralized. It can be driven by markets. Sometimes I wish I could get Martin Wolf to watch the Sir James Goldsmith video. But I think the process of globalization is a natural market phenomena, and it's pausing, not stalling. The question of whether we can get it going or not is whether it will be permitted to happen on the decentralization model as opposed to the centralization model. I write a lot more about these issues in the second quarter wrap-up with productivity. Joseph Farrell has agreed in 2 weeks he's going to join me for a discussion on that productivity. I think that will help you grapple with the issues. So let's look at the national election. And before I start to talk about the national election, please, please, please get to your local election board. Get a list of what the elections are. Get involved in the local elections, because I'll tell you, if we can get non-psychopathic people in control of every one of the 3,100 counties in America, then, you know, we will not end up with elections that are this insane. I can't tell you how important your local candidates are. So please take time to dig in and figure out who's running locally and make sure you're supporting the really excellent people. It makes an enormous difference, much more important, in fact, than the presidential campaign. But Clinton is in serious trouble, and it wouldn't surprise me to see her not make it to the election and to have the Democrats put somebody else in. On Friday, as we discussed, she sort of made the gaffe of calling, referring to 25% approximately of the American people as deplorables. And it showed just extraordinary naivete about how the world really works, but also an extraordinary naivete about politics in America, how to be effective at politics in America. I mean, anybody who's running for president should not make that mistake. That's the mistake of somebody with little experience in politics. But then on Sunday, she left the 9/11 ceremony in New York early and later announced that the doctor had declared on Friday that she had pneumonia. Anyway, the media footage running around the internet and on corporate media of Clinton leaving 9/11, there are real questions about whether it was doctored or real, and I can't tell what the truth is. But the reality is it indicated a significant effort to hurt her brand. And clearly she's going down in the polls as a result of the weekend brouhaha. if you look in deeper, here's my best guess as to what's happening. It looks to me the patterns of her coughing and staff sickness look very much like low-grade biowarfare and physical harassment, electromagnetic harassment of the kind that I dealt with during the litigation. It's all very similar symptoms, very similar physical effects if you look at what she looks like. Now, it could just be hard work and keeping up too brutal of a schedule, but my guess is no, particularly the patterns of staff sickness. My guess is they're being targeted by the deep state. It wouldn't surprise me if the email and foundation scandals as of a week ago were seriously threatening numerous members of the establishment and ongoing operations. And this is really an effort to throw it back onto something which is Clinton-specific. It also looks to me, if you look at sort of the factionalization going on around the campaign, you really have the Bilderbergers versus the military factions. It looks like Trump has been progressively making deals on the military intelligence side. And so you literally have the deep state on the military side up against the Bilderbergers. But if you look at what's happening, it looks to me like the Bilderbergers are pulling their support. The New York AG came out to attack the Trump Foundation, and I think that's just to make sure that the Trump folks know they want this whole thing stopped and left alone. If you keep up bringing transparency to what's happening with the emails and foundation, you're going to threaten Soros, you're going to threaten Gates, you're even going to threaten the Rockefeller Foundation, you're going to threaten the whole model of soft revolution and dirty tricks with foundations. So I think there's a real pushback, and the folks who thought they could put Clinton in, you know, this whole idea of having a woman playing the woman's card globally, it's not working. And I think it wouldn't surprise me, given what I'm seeing, that they're ready to give up on it. You had Colin Powell's email hacked, and it was amazing the kind of things he was saying on email. You could see, you know, what happens if you're a member of the establishment at a certain level. You think that you're immune to getting hacked and having this stuff dished out on you. But anyway, in his hack, he criticizes both candidates and described how the Bohemian Grove members are unhappy with both. And he's clearly putting space between the establishment and Clinton. And I think that was the purpose of that. So if you add it all up together, the patterns of what's happening, I think there's been a real shift. And the establishment is a lot less likely to just try and force Clinton on the body politic. So the question is, if they pull the plug on Clinton by, and they really have to do it by October 1, who do they put in? The logical person to put in is Biden, but I doubt that Biden wants to run. And so it'll be very interesting to see who they come up with. Obviously, there's strong support in the Democratic Party for Sanders. I just don't think the establishment is going to go for Sanders. So the question is, they can always move Tim Kaine up, but that I think they'd like somebody with more name recognition. Obviously, there are many people on the internet who are afraid that Obama will somehow be kept in. Certainly, that would be one solution for the Democrats. I just don't think you can do it under the law. I don't think it's going to happen. And I also don't think that Obama wants it. Hero. We have many heroes this week. I put up a post on Soleri from Dr. Mercola on this CDC grab for police state power, which is so frightening. Very good post, and I would encourage you to read it. Richard Dolan had a great video on disclosure, which does a remarkable job of just showing you what a deeply moral man feels about what's going on in this world. And it's very, there are parts of it which are very poignant and remind me why I'm such a Richard Dolan fan. And then finally, we just went through the 9/11 anniversary this weekend. I had a lot of 9/11 material up on the website. It's a reminder, lots of great people doing great illumination and transparency on 9/11. But one of my favorite journalists from Germany, Lars Schall, did a great interview on insider trading with one of the professors at University of Zurich, and that's up on the website too. So Dr. Mercola, Richard Dolan, Laura Scholl, three people doing great things, and a reminder of how many people are out there really making an enormous difference in this world. So they are all our heroes. Let's go to the movies. I wanted to talk about the new Bourne theory. I love action movies, so I love the Bourne action series. Jason Bourne is a former CIA operative who sort of makes it out and lives outside the system. And the series has been so popular. Matt Damon did the first three and then did not do the fourth. And I guess there was so much support there in the market for a fifth one, he's come back, and that it's called Jason Bourne. And the moral of the story, and I don't want to give it away, you just need to see the movie. If you like action movies, it's a great movie. If you like the Bourne series, you'll love it. But my favorite action movies, one of the ones we had as the Solari movie of the year, I think it was in 2012, was the new A-Team, which is one of my favorite all-time action movies. But the message is the system is way too corrupt. You can't go back in. You can't work with it. You have to find your own way in this world. And it really, the Jason's Bourne quest is the search for the free and inspired life. And it's just, it always is very inspiring to realize, you know, if Jason Bourne can do it, I can do it. So if you like action movies, if you like the Bourne series, I loved it. Our interview this week is with a remarkable person, Sophia Smallstorm, who is the author and publisher of a website about the sky. She really started focusing on the chemtrails, but then kept going. And she has a newsletter, which I am a devoted subscriber of, called Avatar Update. And she just has a very keen mind, and just has no... This is a person who has no desire, as Franklin Sanders would say. She doesn't pine for the treats of the tapeworm. This is a woman who has a very independent mind, wants to live a very independent life, and she can see the world clearly without getting caught up in the trance. And she has a remarkable gift for sort of sleuthing out what's going on and how the puppet masters are building the sets and why. And one of the things she's written a lot and thought a lot about are the invisible technologies of control and how different parts of that, whether it's the EMF or the chemtrails or HARP or media entrainment, subliminal programming, how they connect, and transhumanism, the reengineering that's going on in human bodies, how it all connects to create control. I said in the commentary, what is this high-tech cocktail doing to influence our individual and collective minds? Anyway, she has a remarkably astute ability to unpack and to find the anomalies and to dive deep. So I find her to be a great and ever fascinating source. And you never know what she's going to dive into next. She's just terribly interested in reality. Okay, Ask Catherine. Hi, Catherine. Breaking news on my local TV station. An elementary school in Oregon City, Oregon, is using kids' fingerprints to identify them in the school lunch line. Parents were not notified. Many parents are upset, and the ACLU is apparently getting involved, asking exactly who has the fingerprints, where are they going to be kept, for how long the school is defending this procedure, claiming it will move the kids along the school lunch line faster. This is really scary. So you know how I feel about this. I just think this is very dangerous, and whether it's Common Core, fingerprints, chipping, online systems, I think it's time to get kids out of public school. Oh, vaccinations. I just think public schools are becoming increasingly dangerous. Hi, Catherine. I wanted to send this article to you. I found it quite interesting regarding the population of the areas targeted. Thought you might. This small Indiana county sends more people to prison than San Francisco and Durham, North Carolina combined. Why? I really don't know. I suspect they're trying to keep drug gangs from taking root, living in a rural area where that happens. I can understand how this dynamic happens. You know, you want to get the word out that you aren't possibly strict on these things. So if you want to do drug deals, you stay out of our county. So I suspect that is what they're up to. Hi, Catherine. I've been a subscriber for 6 months and have enjoyed your interview. Since you introduced me to the concept of entrainment, I've grown more skeptical of media and entertainment. As much as I like the idea of girl power and the positive message of achieving your goals, I couldn't help but be suspect of this show's concept and the timing of a premiere launch so close to the election. Curious to know if you share the same opinion or if I've misunderstood entrainment technology methods or techniques. Then there's a link to a new Fox show about a young woman who becomes a pitcher in the major leagues. It's real propaganda. As one of my subscribers a couple weeks ago pointed out, I really need to create a taxonomy on this whole topic. It looks to me like the show is what I would describe as propaganda. The question is whether it involves entrainment and subliminal programming or not. I suspect it probably does. But remember, entrainment and subliminal programming is something that's happening electronically. It's a physical dynamic. And the title of the show and the sort of promoting of women that, you know, that we might just categorize under propaganda. But again, I think, you know, what I find is they often come combined. So I will make an effort to try, and I don't own a TV, but I travel. So I will make an effort to try and watch this when it comes out, because it looks like major propaganda. Dear Catherine, I subscribe to your newsletter and reports. I'm wanting to pull my money out of the banks at this time, like the rest of us. I'm also following your other suggestions, but find I still have excess in my bank accounts. My question is this: is there any reason one could not simply get cashier's checks made out to themselves from their bank accounts, some for smaller amounts at $10,000 or less each, and then larger ones at $50,000 or more each, and store them in a safe place to ride out the storm if the bank sees money from all the account holders? Would this not be a way to protect your money, as banks are more likely to give you a cashier's check than cash? I appreciate that this is not something you would likely be able to post for the obvious reasons, but I would really appreciate your thoughts. When the banks become solvent again, you could simply deposit one or more of your previously done cashier's checks. I can assure you that any answer you provide will be held in utmost confidentiality. My feeling is if you want to be independent of the banks, you need to get cash or gold and silver coins and keep them outside. I think there's little chance of the banks seizing your money. If you are in a bank that's not solvent, you could run the risk of things seizing up, and then you have to depend on the FDIC system. But in a country where people, you know, the basically top down, the banking system can just print money. I can't fathom, you know, unless you're talking about just a, you know, moving to a police state. So, but if they are seizing funds, then they can seize your funds when you try and liquefy your cashier's check. You say deposit your cashier's checks when everything is solvent again. But I just, you know, I think if you want money independent of the system, I have a lot more confidence in cash and gold coins than I do in a cashier's check. So, again, I'm not concerned about banks seizing your money. I just think that's unlikely unless we have a complete implosion or, you know, as I said, a complete financial, not a financial coup d'etat, a complete coup d'etat. I just think it's, in a world where the system can always print money for free, why would you shut down the liquidity? So again, but I think if you want to be independent of the banking system, that means you have to have cash and gold and silver coins outside. So I wouldn't mesh with cashier's check. I could see if you know, why you would do it if you wanted to pull $1 million out, and that took you a long time to do if you're pulling it out in increments of $1,000 or $2,000. But I would just go with cash. Somebody sent in an article from Yahoo, glyphosate found in childhood vaccines. Interestingly enough, the Yahoo article had disappeared, but I found it on another website. The person who sent it writes, maybe you've heard of this. The news keeps getting more bizarre. Now there is evidence of glyphosate in vaccines. Injecting kids and adults, I'm sure, with glyphosate, even indirectly, is insane. See link below. That's pretty disturbing. It sounds from the article as though it's getting in indirectly through some of the other ingredients, but it's frightening the way that is just pouring into the entire food system. And it's not surprising that Mr. Global wants to churn Monsanto's name and balance sheet, because the liabilities ultimately from glyphosate, I think, are going to be enormous. They continue, on another note, in the 9-8 discussions, you mentioned the possibility of a link between channel material and secret societies, intelligence and or intelligence agencies. I might be paraphrasing incorrectly, as I'm still in a bit of a shock. Thank you for that information. For a long time, I've been both curious and cautious about channel material, but it never occurred to me that those groups could come into play. How can I learn more about that? I would step back and start learning about mind control, and then go into psychic warfare and psyops, and just learn the basic background on those topics. And then, and then go on. I don't know of a good source that focuses particularly on channeled materials. You should make sure you've read Rappaport's The Secret of Secret Societies. Somebody asked me for a list on mind control, and I recently sent them, let me tell you what I sent them, Bernard Lewis's book, The Assassins. I believe that the initial mind control technology came over with the Templars coming back from the Middle East during the Crusades. An excellent book is Carla Emery's Secret, Don't Tell. Carla Emery is the author who wrote the Encyclopedia of Country Living, but has one of the big best books on sort of the history of mind control. So I would start with The Assassins, which is, it's a tiny piece. The mind control piece is a tiny piece of Lewis's book, but that's a very important piece. And then Carla Emery's Secret, Don't Tell. Then the Nazis contributed significantly to the advancement of mind control technology with Operation Paperclip. So it can't hurt to just go to Wikipedia and familiarize yourself with Operation Paperclip. And a lot of those scientists were brought over, a Nazi scientist, and helped kickstart the MK Ultra program at the CIA. And once the secret societies got access to infinite amounts of funding through the intelligence agencies for mind control and these technologies, things really got turbocharged. One of the books I encourage people to read is Gloria Naylor's 1996. You can find a review of it up on the website. And I have several reviews of books by Mark Rich, and then a book review called Guinea Pig Technologies of Control. If you do a search from, I'll put these links up on the website, but if you do a search for Mark M. Rich or The Nuts and Bolts of Tyranny, and then Guinea Pigs Technologies of Control, you'll find some also books that bring you much more up to date about the kind of psyop stuff. For movies, I have a old Solera report called The Layman's Guide to Mind Control, and I would encourage you to listen to that and look at the movies that I recommended in that. I also just did a Solera report with Jay Tyer on mind control movies, and that helps. And there are other lists of recommended movies I'll put a link up to. I believe that 5G is going to increase the intensity and effectiveness of what can be done with mind control. And I talk a lot about that with Sophia Smallstorm in this interview. And if you look at the Just a Taste little video we put at the top of the commentary, you can see some of our 5G discussion. I'm encouraging people to check out the Whale Hologram at magicleap.com. It's on the homepage. If you just go, the first thing that comes up is a hologram of a whale jumping out of a gymnasium floor done for a class of kids at a school gymnasium. But it can show you the power of what this kind of technology can do. And they continue and say, thanks again for being as clear as possible and sharing what you know with the subscribers. I'm so grateful. You're most welcome. If you find any good sources on your journey that I haven't mentioned or listed in any of these links, I would encourage you to send them in, because we're all trying to understand these hidden technologies. And, I don't think anybody has a really great handle on it yet, but it's clearly very important, because we have to, you know, to live a free and inspired life, you have to control your own mind. Then there's a long post. I'm not going to read all of it. Hi, Catherine and Dr. Farrell. Nations are like individuals. When we encounter the bad results of our own choices, often we realize our discomfort or failure is of our own making, and we learn. Such a moment of awakening, in my opinion, is happening with America. Yes, absolutely. One of the things they go on to predict is that Hillary Clinton will not make it to the election, and I think that's a pretty good chance right now. I'd give it as good, you know, better than 50-50. Dear Catherine, it seems to me that oftentimes the results from political and public opinion polls are just fabricated to convince us that something is true. What is your opinion on this? Yes, absolutely. Polls are manipulated. Now, I look at them, whether I'm trying to discern what people are thinking or where Mr. Global is trying to manipulate things too. Dear Catherine, you understand the powers that be much better than the average person on the street, but how often do they still keep you guessing as to what they're planning? Always. They always keep me guessing. Things are organic. They are evolutionary. Leadership sets goals, then they move forward by trial and error. Implementation is very emergent. There are lots of factions. I try to understand where things are going, not by observing what the leadership is doing, although I do try and understand that, and I do observe what they're doing. I try to understand where things are going primarily based on fundamental economics as an organizing principle, because economics tend to drive things a certain way. And even if things are out of alignment with fundamental economics for long periods of time, it's very, very informative and important to understand those fundamental economics. So I tend to use navigating tools which are not really driven by what the leadership is up to. But again, the leadership on this planet is very, very, you know, again, they set goals, and then the process of implementation is very, very organic. So I'm always guessing. Closing, next week is going to be an interesting week. For the next 2 weeks, we're going to double up and give you lots of special material. I'm recording something called Rebuilding a Local Economy, which comes out of the productivity discussion. If we want to rebuild productivity, we're going to have to rebuild local economy. So I want to revisit that, and it's going to come with an extensive outline and links to help you dive in if you want to look deeper. It's going to just be an overview of the key issues. And on Tuesday, we're going to publish the next two interviews in the Soleri Food Series, one, the second part on soil, and another one by Dave Endres, the head of Michael Fields Institute. Wonderful, wonderful farmer and institute leader in the field of biodynamic and organic farming. Then the following week, we have Multipolar World with Saker, but we're going to do our special discussion with Farrell on productivity and publish that on Tuesday. So we're going to have lots of good content over the next 2 weeks, double what we usually do. And then on October 2nd, we start into our news, trends, and stories for the third quarter wrap-up, again with Dr. Farrell. So that's going to be great. Until September 22nd, or 20th with the food series. Please remember, don't worry about whether or not there is a conspiracy. If you're not in a conspiracy and you need to start one, if you find starting one daunting, then I hope you will join my latest inspired conspiracy, the Grand Virtual Pipe Organ crowdfund, which will launch, as I said, October 15th, launch party, Tulsa, Oklahoma. Ladies and gentlemen, good night and good luck.